Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me once again to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. This morning we're going to be looking at a perfect gift. Galatians chapter 4, we've been here the last few weeks together. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Look at verse 4 once again. It says, but when the time had fully come, when the perfect moment had arrived, the precise time in world history, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son. Now, the message the Apostle Paul is conveying here is simply that it was at a perfect and precise moment in world history that God sent this world a perfect gift, the gift of his only begotten Son. Simply put, then, Jesus was the Father's perfect gift at the perfect time. Now, when you think of perfect gifts, what comes to mind? It's possible when you talk about a perfect gift or the greatest gift of all time, you might think about a childhood toy, your first bicycle, a watch that maybe was given to you at a very special occasion. It may have been a retirement watch, may have been a watch from graduation, or there's a watch that you have that means something more than just a piece that tells time. Or maybe it's a ring. It may have been your engagement ring, maybe your wedding ring. But there is a ring that's above all rings. It is the gift. It is the perfect gift. And when you think of a perfect gift, it is the one that comes to mind, a particular ring. Maybe an heirloom passed on from generation to generation, and now it's in your possession, and it would be the perfect gift. For others, it may have been the gift of an automobile. You know, speaking of new cars, Nick Cannon, he gave his wife, Mariah Carey, a brand new $400,000 Rolls-Royce Phantom for Christmas. Isn't that sweet? Now, Paris Hilton, if anyone knows Paris Hilton, you know she's always kind of on the dark side of life and in trouble. Evidently, she couldn't find anyone to give her a car, so she bought one for herself. A $285,000 pink Bentley Continental GT. Ben Affleck, he gave his wife, Jennifer Garner, a 7-carat diamond ring. Mike Tyson bought Robin Givens, which is his ex-wife, think of this, a $2 million tub. What do you say? Jump in and get clean, I guess. I don't know. Oprah. Listen to what Oprah gave her entire staff. She gave her entire staff of more than 100 employees a 10-day luxury Mediterranean cruise. Listen to this one. Queensland Nickel, which is a mining and refining company. They gave most of their employees, at least those in upper echelon, they gave them for Christmas brand new Mercedes B-Class hatch automobiles fully loaded. Now, some of you undoubtedly were happy and even very thankful for what you have received thus far for Christmas until you heard these stories. Now you're sitting here in the sanctuary and you're thinking to yourself, I was happy until I found this out, and all I'm getting is some stinking frozen turkey for Christmas. Now, the Apostle Paul was an incredibly proficient and gifted writer. He was indeed a wordsmith. He had a way with words, and it seems like Paul always had a way of describing anything and everything, even those things which are very ethereal and spiritual and hard to put into words. He always seemingly had a way of putting into words things that others might stumble over, have a difficulty with trying to put into words, but not Paul. Yet this man, this wordsmith, he was absolutely caught speechless when he tried to ponder how to describe the gift of God's perfect Son. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, here's what it says in the King James Version. It says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." The NIV reads this way, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." He said, there's no words to describe. Matter of fact, the Living Bible says it this way, "Thank God for his Son, his gift too wonderful for words." For the next few moments together this morning, I'd like for you to consider with me God's incredible perfect gift that he sent to this world, the gift of his only begotten Son. Well, just why is it that God gave his Son to this world? When one thinks of the many possible motivations there may be, just what is it that motivated God? Some might say there was even God out of guilt. God felt he needed to do something. After all, he had created man. He had placed man on the earth. In addition to that, it was God that could have taken the devil out and never allowed him any role or any place on this earth. And so God, out of guilt or maybe out of obligation or for some other reason, why is it that God sent his Son? Look at John chapter 3 and verse 16. As we look at the motivation behind God's gift. John 3:16 says, "For God," what's the next word? "So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Here it is then. You're looking for an answer. What is the motivation? Why did God send his Son? Was it obligation? Was it some kind of a guilt trip that God was on, needed to do something? Therefore, he sends his Son. No. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for the purpose and the reason that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There are a lot of gifts this time of the year that are given out of obligation. Other gifts are given out of necessity. And I would say there are even some gifts that are given out of pity. Every Christmas list includes some obligatory gifts. John chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us, however, that God's sole motivation behind sending his Son was love. The Bible says, "For God so loved that he sent and gave his only begotten Son." Now, friends, I can assure you this morning that you can search this entire world over, but you will never find anyone that loves you as much, let alone more, than God. God absolutely loves you. If God has a refrigerator in heaven, your picture is on the door. Now, I don't know about you, but I was raised in a family where the kitchen refrigerator had all the family pictures on. How many can identify with that? Yeah, there's lots of us in this room. You know, there's 106 of us in the family now. And because of that, the refrigerator door from the top all the way to the bottom was always covered. Now, I know, though my mother would never admit this, I know there's times when she knew that I was coming and quickly dug in the drawer and put my picture on the refrigerator. Because there was always so many pictures, you had to kind of rotate them around. And if God has a refrigerator, I would say your picture's on it. God loves you. He is crazy head over heels for you. God is absolutely so in love with you. The Bible says you are the apple of his eye, which simply means God's focus out of all this earth is upon the individual. He loves you. He loves you more than your mother, more than your father, more than an uncle or an aunt, a grandparent, next door neighbor, your wife or your husband, your son or your daughter. God loves you more than anyone on this planet. God carries a billfold. Your picture's in it. And friends, this morning I want to settle this once and for all. The motivation behind God's gift was his incredible love for each and every one of us and for all of mankind. God loves you. Jesus was God's love gift, sent not just to the world, but sent to you. Well, let's look at for a moment now that we know the motivation, and we know the motivation behind God's gift of his Son was not obligation, was not out of mere necessity, which all of these things may be taken into account by some, but it was really love that sent God's Son. Now that we know the motivation, let's look at the perfect gift for just a moment. You know, I believe that some people, and I think we all know them, and who they are in our particular circle of friends or in our families, they have the gift of good shopping. They have the uncanny ability to get just the right thing. You know, when you open their gifts, there's something so unique about the way that their gift is because it meets a very special need. And this comes because, first of all, they are loving, but secondly, they're also observant individuals. And these loving and observant individuals in our lives, they watch and they look for opportunities to meet a particular need in our life. And Christmas and the gift-giving time gives them a unique opportunity to do that. And they seem to ring the bell every single time. It's because they're observant and because they love. Let me tell you a personal story for a moment. There's a man in our congregation by the name of Paul Merle. Many of you I know Paul. Paul has been at our home many, many times over the years for our home fellowship group meetings and so on. While there at our home, he noticed something that I believe probably one out of 10,000 persons would have ever taken note of. Paul Merle noticed sitting there alongside of our bookshelf that there were several random volumes of the now out-of-print medical encyclopedias, and there were several missing. He noticed whether it was number 7 that was missing, number 13 missing, number 19, number 21. He took absolute note of what was missing. And Paul Merle, knowing and seeing this opportunity to be a blessing to us, and these books are not available anywhere, he went out and on his own accord, totally unbeknownst to us, went to every single rummage sale he could go to. He went to every Goodwill store. He went anywhere that used books could be found, and he found every last missing volume, wrapped them up, and gave them to us as a gift. That's our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father observes our lives in ways that would absolutely amaze any one of us, I know. Not only does he observe, he looks for opportunities to meet that very special and unique need. I would say to you this morning that, once again, God was very careful. And he took a very careful inventory of our needs, and he sent us what we needed the most. He sent us a Savior. You know, God could have gone to heaven's Walmart, and he could have sent us something far less costly than sending his only begotten Son, for sure. You see, by comparison, God could have looked from heaven and said, you know, it's not right that men and women do not have a home to live in. And God could have spoken the word like he spoke the planets into existence or the sun or the moon. He could have spoke the word and every last person on planet Earth, all 6.5 billion of us, would have instantaneously or possibly sent teams of angels or cherubim or seraphim from heaven and built a mansion for each and every person on this planet. God could have done so. God could have, said it's not right that people do not have sufficient money to live by. And God could have sent $1 million to every single inhabitant on earth. You would wake up in the morning and like the tooth fairy during the night, there is none. Sorry to break your bubble. But nonetheless, wake up in the morning and under your pillow, God would have placed $1 million. You would have had a sore neck. That's a lot of money. He could have done so. He could have sent you an honorary doctorate from the University of Heaven. Somebody said it this way: if our greatest need would have been for information, God then would have sent us an educator. Key words in each one of these phrases is the greatest need. If our greatest need would have been for technology, God would have sent to us a scientist. If our greatest need would have been for money, God would have sent to us an economist. If our greatest need would have been for pleasure, God would have sent to us an entertainer. But friends, our greatest need was for forgiveness. So God gave us what we needed the most. And he sent to us his only begotten Son, Jesus, the Savior of the world. Now, God's gift of his Son is an eternal gift. You know, most gifts in life, they do not last long. If it's clothing that we give, regardless of the occasion, clothing either wears out, goes out of style, or gets too small. I have one closet that's set aside just for when it fits again. And every once in a while, I go through that closet and I just say, you know, we're never going back there, so we just as well get rid of it now. But all of us have things that have been given to us, and very valuable things. But in time, they wear out, go out of style, or they become too small. The toys given out at Christmas time in just a few hours, or within a few days, most of them will no longer work. I was raised with 9 brothers. Can you imagine anything surviving the night? Most things did not. Some gifts that are given this time of the year, they only show up in stores at Christmas time, and they're marked for the person that has everything. So at this time of the year, they dig stuff out of closets and storage areas, and they put them out on shelves. The Fry Baby. Presto Burger. Buzz Off. Chia Pets. The Salad Shooter. The Clapper. Aren't you glad our lights are not controlled by the Clapper? There are entire sections. You were just trying to shut the lights off on me. I know. You were clapping just to see if you could really shut her down. Whole sections. And department stores now are dedicated to as seen on television. You ever seen those? You walk through the store and they've got all of this junk. They dug out of some storage place, and now they put it out, and they say, as seen on television. Weed whackers that you can also use to trim the hair in your nose. So versatile. Friends, I want you to understand this morning, all of this stuff, and we receive and we give a lot of stuff. When it's all said and done, there's not much in this entire world that's going to last but just for a very short while, let alone for eternity. And I declare to you this morning that God's gift, the gift of His Son, is eternal. Amen. Jesus never gets old, nor does He ever wear out. The songwriter said it this way, He gets sweeter as the days go by. And that is the story of Jesus Christ in our lives. Jesus is simply the perfect gift. I want you to consider with me the perfect gift and how it's for all people. You know, the best things in life, they say, cannot be bought, and that is absolutely true. You cannot go to a store and buy a pure conscience. You cannot buy joy or peace of mind. You see, everything that mankind desires deep in their heart is found in this perfect gift, Jesus Christ. Let's pretend for a moment there's a tree, and this tree is called the Tree of Life. And under this tree is wrapped many, many brightly wrapped packages. Some of these packages promise pleasure, others prosperity, others power. They may have promises of various kinds on the tags. And the beauty of these packages can only truly, and they do truly beguile. But on the inside, these gifts are filled with nothing more than disappointment. Sadly, for some, the gift of God, however, it goes unopened year after year. I want you to listen carefully to a story that I came across. Some of you may have read it. A wealthy man and his son loved to collect rare works of art. They had every kind of thing in their collection, from Picasso's to Raphael. They would often sit together and they would admire this art. When the Vietnam conflict broke out, the son went to war. He was very courageous and died in battle while rescuing another soldier. The father was notified and grieved deeply by the loss of his only son. About a month later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. A young man stood at the door with a large package in his hands and said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I'm the soldier from whom your son gave his life. He saved many lives that day, and he was carrying me to safety when the bullet struck him in the heart, and he died instantly. He often talked about you, and he spoke of your love for art." The young man held out his package. "I know this isn't much. I'm not really a great artist, but I think your son would want me to give this to you." The father opened the package. It was a portrait of his son, painted by the young man. He stared in awe at the way the soldier had captured the personality of his son in the painting. The father was so drawn to the eyes that his own eyes welled up with tears. He thanked the young man and offered to pay him for the picture. "Oh, no, sir. I could never, ever, ever ask you to pay after all your son did for me. This is a gift." The father hung the portrait over the mantle. Every time visitors came to his home, he took them to see the portrait of his son before he showed them any other piece of great art in his collection. The man died a few months later. There was to be a great auction of his paintings. Many influential people gathered, excited over seeing the great paintings and having an opportunity to purchase one of them for their own collection. On the platform sat the painting of the sun. The auctioneer pounded the gavel. "We will start the bidding with this picture of the sun. Who will bid for this picture?" There was silence. Then a voice in the back of the room shouted, "We want to see the famous painting. Skip this one." But the auctioneer persevered and persisted. "Will someone bid this painting? What will they give? Who will start the bidding at 100? Who will give 200? Another voice shouted angrily, "We didn't come to see this painting. We came to see the Van Goghs and the Rembrandts. Get on with the real bids." But the auctioneer continued, "The sun. The sun. Who will take the sun?" Finally, a voice came from the very back of the room. It was the longtime gardener of the man and the son. "I'll give $10 for the painting." Being a poor man, it was all that he could really afford. "We have 10. Who will bid 20? "Give it to him for 10, said those sitting out there. "10 is the bid. "Won't somebody bid 20? The crowd became angry. They didn't want the picture of the son. They wanted the more worthy investments of some of the other collecting pieces that were being sold. The auctioneer pounded the gavel. "Going once, going twice, sold for $10. A man sitting in the second row then shouted, "Now let's get on with the collection." The auctioneer laid down his gavel. "I'm sorry, the auction is over." "What about the paintings?" "I'm sorry. When I was called to conduct this auction, I was told of a secret stipulation in the will. I was not allowed to reveal that stipulation until this time. Only the painting of the son would be auctioned. Whoever bought that painting would inherit the entire estate, including all of the paintings. The man who took the son gets everything." Friends, there are those that try to find success, fulfillment, peace of mind, joy, hope, all they're looking for in the things of this world. And they left the most important and the most incredible gift of all, left unreceived, unopened, year after year, day after day, and time keeps ticking by. John chapter 1 and verse 10 says this: "He was in the world," speaking of Jesus, "and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own," that is the Jewish people, "but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human wisdom," or rather human decision, "or of a husband's will, but born of God." The Bible says, "As many as receive him, to them gives he the power to become the sons of God." That word "receive" there is a rather interesting word. It means a very defined, specific act at a very given moment in time. To as many as received him. This Christmas season, under the tree, there will be many different kinds of gifts. They will be wrapped in various ways. They'll have tags. Amongst all of them, I want you to see something with your heart's eye for a moment. It's the perfect gift from heaven. A gift that was sent not out of obligation, but sent because he loves you, not willing that any should perish. It is the perfect gift. It is the eternal gift of God's own Son that will live inside of your heart. And whoever has the Son gets everything. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God has not life." This morning, there is a gift from heaven that's being offered. What will you do with Jesus Christ, the perfect gift? Father, in this next moment, we're going to sense you knocking at our heart's door. In this next moment, we're going to sense the fact that you loved us so much and that you do love us to such an extent, you gave the very best you could give. You loved us enough to observe our lives. And you realize you could have sent a house, $1 million, or a billion other things. By comparison, they would be far less costly than the gift you sent. You gave us the perfect gift, the gift that we all need, the gift that is salvation, the gift that is forgiveness, the gift that is hope, the gift that is joy. Help us, Lord, to realize, like the story of the package, the picture of the Son, whoever has the Son gets everything. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, it's very possible in this room right now that there's scores of you that you know the Christmas story. You can recite it, and you have recited it. You know where it's found. You can turn to it in the pages of the Scriptures. But you have never accepted God's gift. You never had a moment in your life where you said, you know, I've made up my mind. I am going to take the gift that God has offered me. As many as received Him, that's a specific moment in time. Lord, I pray that we'd understand if we've got the Son, we get everything. How many this morning would say, Pastor, I want to receive Christ as Lord of my life. Will you pray for me? Just put your hand up real high. God bless you. God bless you over here. God bless you right over here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless both of you in the back right over here. All over this room. I want to receive the gift that God has sent from heaven above. The gift that never wears out. The gift that only gets better as the days go by.